Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue to examine the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. On the broadcast yesterday, we began an overview of this list of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, and we will continue that overview on the broadcast today, and then we'll surely get into that first attribute, which is love. But let me read again this passage, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Yesterday in the broadcast, we looked primarily at the contrast between the works of the flesh, the preceding list, and the fruit of the Spirit, the one that we are looking at now. We are now considering the analysis of the entire list. You recall that when it came to the works of the flesh, we divided that list into four categories. And though we saw that there was some overlapping from the categories, they were not nice and neat categories. Nevertheless, it was possible to divide that list into categories, though we found that the categories were not equal. The first category had four items, and the second one had two, and the third one had nine, as I recall, and then the fourth one had two again. It was a rather uneven grouping. And even there, some of the items listed could have actually gone in more than one category. And some of the items, in particularly the third category, seem to have a great deal of overlapping, almost synonyms, different terms for basically the same thing. Well, you don't find anything like that in this list. These are nine entirely different qualities. Beautiful qualities. And it is the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, and therefore what we have is three triads, three clusters of three, though I must say that even here it's difficult to pinpoint these with absolute precision, but that's the way it seems to be divided. The first three go together. The fruit of the Spirit is number one, love, joy, peace. It is number two, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and it is number three, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The first three seem to primarily have to do with habits of the mind and our relationship with God, though of course it very much comes out in our life. But love, joy, peace, these are things that we experience in our fellowship with God, our communion with God. And then of course it spills over in our everyday life and in our relationship with others. But nevertheless, Godward, love, joy, peace. The second three, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, that has primarily to do with our relationship with others. We are long-suffering toward one another. We are kind one to another. We are good. We act in a godly way, and we act out our goodness in our relationships with others. And then the third category seems to be primarily Christian conduct as it relates to ourself. Gentleness, or rather faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Faithfulness is certainly Godward. All of these are Godward, actually. But how we are pursuing our walk with the Lord in regard to our own success or failure. We are either being faithful to a significant degree or being unfaithful to a significant degree. It's more of a self-analysis here of what we are doing. And gentleness and self-control. Self-control, certainly we can see how that relates to ourselves. We are either exercising self-control or we're not. We're either exercising self-control to a significant degree or we are failing to do so to a significant degree. And so this very clearly has to do with ourselves. And then gentleness, that one doesn't fit quite so neatly into the third category. It certainly could go in the direction of our relationship toward others as much as toward ourselves, but it does seem to have to do with a particular demeanor, a quality, a character quality that starts within ourselves, and then, of course, it does have ramifications toward others. And so there are apparently three areas in this ninefold fruit of the Spirit, three clusters. The first one, Godward. The second one, othersward. And the third one, inward. And then finally, in analyzing this cluster, we make note of that last phrase in verse 23, which says, "Against such there is no law." Of these nine things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. That's kind of a puzzling phrase at first. People may wonder, what in the world is that all about? What does that mean? But, of course, in the first list, everything about the law of God is against all of them. Back to the works of the flesh again. Adultery. Well, that's against the law of God. Do I have to prove that? Thou shalt not commit adultery. So adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Idolatry. Again, easy to jump in here. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. So, idolatry, sorcery. I can take you back to the law of Moses and show you specific prohibitions against sorcery. And hatred. I don't have to prove that, do I? Surely we recognize the prohibitions which Christ gave against hatred and the warnings about hatred and so forth. On through this entire list. Contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. All of these have prohibitions in Scripture that tell us that these are illegitimate. They are sinful. They are contrary to the revealed will of God. When they are exercised, then we commit sin. There is law against every one of these. Some of them are clear violations of one or more of the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. Others of them are found elsewhere in the Old Testament law of Moses, and then some of them can probably only be found within the New Covenant Scriptures. The New Testament revelation of what is God's will, where the New Testament deals more thoroughly with the inward thoughts and attitudes than does the Old Testament. But taken all together, there are scriptural prohibitions against every one of these characteristics found in the first catalog, the works of the flesh. You'll not find any prohibition against any of these in the second list. Find anywhere where the Bible says, don't exercise love? On the contrary, we are commanded to exercise it. Anywhere where the Bible says, don't have joy? On the contrary, and so forth. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Can you find anywhere in Scripture where any of these is legislated against? Is prohibited? That there are any commandments not to do these things, not to exercise these things? Absolutely not. On the contrary, all of these things are commanded, required, encouraged. And so when we come to the second group, it says, against such there is no law. That means that there is nothing to prohibit or discourage anyone from exercising any of these to the full. Some of those on the first list, if you exercise them to any significant degree, you're going to get yourself into serious trouble, not only with God, but with man. Murders and drunkenness certainly fall into that category. and even adultery and fornication. It's always placing a person in danger. They're going to cross the wrong person. They're going to violate the wrong person's wife. They're going to enter into a risky relationship that's going to have serious consequences. All of these have consequences and liabilities that are going to put you in constant danger, constant fear, constant looking over your shoulder to see who's coming after you because you have been committing these things, but you're not going to find that in the second list. You indulge yourself to the fullest expression of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and there's not going to be anybody threatening you because of those. There's no law against these things, either divine or human. There's no restraint on these whatsoever. You don't have to say, well, I'll exercise a little bit of that, but not too much. If I exercise a little bit, maybe I can enjoy it without any liability, but if I exercise too much, I know there's going to be consequences, as you can see is true in many of those characteristics in the first list, the works of the flesh. And the fact of the matter is, even in putting it that way, that shows the deceitfulness of the human heart, because when it comes to sin, men often think that they can indulge in it a little bit if they just be careful not to go too far, that there won't be consequences, and that's actually not true. There always are. There are always unintended consequences. There are always unforeseen consequences. And so it is not true that if you indulge a little bit but are careful not to go too far, you'll be safe. But that's the way we often look at it in our fallen Adamic sinfulness. And it's also true that it's hard to control yourself. When you start indulging a little bit in what you think is going to be a safe level, it's very hard to stop. It's easy to cross the line. You become more bold and you become more infatuated and you become more addicted, and this becomes more habitual, and your original cautions get thrown to the wind. And you find yourself in far deeper than you ever intended. That's the way sin is. It always takes you farther than you intended to go and brings you far more serious consequences than you ever thought were going to happen. But that'll never happen in this list. Go ahead. Don't not only engage in these things, but drink to the full. Enjoy them to the greatest degree possible. You cannot go too far with any one of these. You should go as far as you can and then try to go farther. There's no law. In other words, this is an encouragement in regard to these things. In regard to the works of the flesh, there is discouragement and restraint. Don't do these things. Stop doing these things. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, go, go, go. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. These are great. These are wonderful. These are good. God considers them good. These are good for you. These are good for the other people in your life. These are good in every area. Any way you look at it, this is good. Go, go, go. No restraint, no law, no discouragement, but every reason to develop these to the fullest and to realize that you can do so with the Spirit of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.